Welcome this morning to a series of five meditations during the next 5 days. We will spend time focusing on the last week in Jesus' life here on earth with us. This morning we move from the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to his entering the temple and casting out the traders there. We will hear the words of Scripture, and we will hear what might have been said about the events that took place that day by James, one of Jesus' disciples, and Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus by night. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, how easy it would have been for you entering Jerusalem to have taken the easy way. With the shouts of welcome still ringing in your ears, the hosannas of the crowd still fresh in your memory. It must have been tempting to give them what they wanted, to be the sort of Messiah they hoped you would be. But you soon made it clear, if anybody doubted, that there would be no compromise, no watering down of your message for the sake of the popular acclaim. You stayed true to your calling despite the inevitable consequences. Lord Jesus, we too try and shape you to fit our expectations. Help us as we recall those last days leading up to the cross to learn what you expected of us and find strength to honour it. Amen. Please take a few moments in silent prayer. We're now going to listen to a reading from John chapter 8, beginning at verse 48, if anybody wants to follow it. The Jews answered, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honour my Father, and you dishonour me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, 'Whoever keeps my word will never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets also died. Who do you claim to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. He of whom you say, 'He is our God.' Though you do not know him, but I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He said it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Why did he have to spoil it all? That's what I want to know. It was all going so well, way beyond our expectations, until he went and ruined it. All right, so maybe he had to do something. Maybe they were abusing the temple, making a mockery of what it was meant to be. But couldn't he have been more careful, more diplomatic? A quiet word in the right ears, surely that was the best way. Perhaps a gesture of disapproval to get the point home. Even a scathing condemnation, though preferably out of earshot. But this, overturning their tables in a fit of rage, smashing their stalls, driving out their livestock, lashing out in fury. It was asking for it. Guaranteed to make enemies. And yet, let's face it, hardly good for his image. A troublemaker, they call him, after that. And can you blame them? Why couldn't he have left things as they were? They were right behind him, ready to do whatever he asked, dancing for joy in the streets, tearing down branches to greet him. Oh, I know a few might still have turned against him once they realised what he was saying and what he wasn't. There would still have been some determined to do him in. I realise that. But why did he make it easy for them? Why invite hostility? Why refuse to compromise? I'm trying to understand, I really am, but it's hard. If it had been me, I'd have taken the easy way, despite my convictions, toned things down a bit, avoided confrontation, kept in with those who mattered. That's why I'm still alive today, and he's not. Yet deep down, I realise he had no other choice. Not if he was going to be true to himself. And he always was. I have to give him that. That's what made him so special. That's why I followed him. That's why I still do, even now. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be true to our convictions, to stand up for what is right. But it's hard when pressure is on. It's hard not to bend when all around us disagree. It's hard not to compromise for the sake of peace. It's hard not to tone things down when we find ourselves in the firing line. Yet there are times when we need to stick our necks out for what we believe in, even when doing so makes us unpopular with others. Give us wisdom to know when these times are, and give us courage then to hold fast through them all. Amen. I'm now going to read from John chapter 18, starting to read at verse 12. So the soldiers, their officers, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. He had it coming to him. You can't deny it. We warned him what would happen. Told him time and again to tone things down. But would he listen? Not a bit of it. He knew our feelings. We'd made no secret of them. And he knew the risks as well as any. Many's the time we tried to stone him, and we would have done too, but for the crowds. Yet he kept on preaching, kept on violating the Sabbath, kept on blaspheming the name of God. Oh, I know he'd dispute that. And no doubt his followers would too. Come up with some pathetic nonsense to justify his teaching. Oh yes, I know that sort. The most dangerous kind there is, to my mind. Well, all I can say to them is, be real. come down out of your ivory tower. Maybe he did heal the sick, work a few miracles, but that's not everything, is it? What was the cost? That's what I want to know. What damage did he do to our religion? Openly flouting the law like that. What effect did he have on temple funds, turning out the traders? He could have got us all killed. Not just him. That's what gets me. The Romans were out to get us, and he must have known. Okay, so perhaps he did think the next world more important than this. That it's better to lose one's life than save it. But that was his problem, not ours. He wanted to live, each one of us. Priests, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees. And he wanted to live well, with our faces ground into the dust. It hadn't been easy, but we'd worked hard to get where we were, biting our tongues, toeing the line, swallowing our pride. And we couldn't let all that be wasted by some lunatic with his head in the clouds. So don't feel sorry for him. Don't imagine he was hard done by. And don't you dare any of you point the accusing finger at us, suggesting that we should feel ashamed of ourselves, that somehow we failed. We had to think of ourselves, not to mention our people, our country and our faith. We had to put those first things, ensure we save them. So I'm telling you straight, he had to die. There was no other way. I honestly believe that. And do you know what? In a funny kind of way, I think he believed it too. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, it's easy to make excuses, to come up with all kinds of reasons to justify actions we know to be wrong. We may fool others, we may possibly even fool ourselves, but we can never fool you, Lord. Help us then, instead of making excuses, to face ourselves as we really are. And having done that, to seek your forgiveness and the renewal that only you can give. Amen. Take a few moments now in silent prayer. And now to end with a blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Amen.